listening to the CCA Podcast.
Here at Calvary, we're all about one thing, all right? We are a community. Emphasis on community. No one's meant to do life alone, isolated, right? We're in this thing together, to do life together. But we're a community of faith all about helping people find and follow Jesus. If we can agree on that, we're golden. All right, let's go have lunch now. No, right? So I want to jump into a familiar passage of Scripture, all right, before we all head to the picnic. Matthew, the 28th chapter. This is, I like to refer to it as Mission Matthew 28. Okay, and we're starting at verse 16. Let me read this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Mission Matthew 28, that is what we're all about here, helping people find and follow Jesus. It's interesting because I read through this again this morning in my devotions, and as I'm reading it, I wondered how you would hear it this morning, how I would read it, how we would reflect these words of Jesus. When we read a passage like Matthew 28, is it just a momentous historical happening when we read it? When we read a text like this, is it just something that was really neat that occurred thousands of years ago? Something historical? Or when we read this, is it alive? Is it active? Is it a word for now? Is it to be read and ingested, received, reflected on, responded to as something Jesus is saying to us now? In other words, then the congregation of Calvary Christian Assembly went to 6801 Roosevelt Way, Northeast, in Seattle, to the church where Jesus had led them to go. When they all entered the sanctuary and sang songs of worship, passionate praise, there were some who doubted. Isn't that true this morning? Which, by the way, your doubts aren't all a bad thing, by the way. Your doubts actually lead you to questions and to ponder and reflect and to search, to seek. So that's not all bad. Some doubted here this morning. Jesus came to them through the word and said, Spirit says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Therefore, Jesus says in our midst, he says, go and do what? Go and help people find and follow Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know if you heard, but we're having baptism next week. If you've never been baptized, if you're a Jesus follower and you've never been baptized in the immersion of water, we would love to walk that out with you. If you've been a Christian a long while and you're like, you know, I need to rededicate my life. I feel like there's something in me saying I need to be rebaptized. There's nothing against that. You're more than welcome to sign. We would love that. So baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, an outward sign of an inward decision that you've made. It's saying, I'm going public. I want everyone to know I'm all in. Jesus did it, and we follow his pursuit and such. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What are we doing this morning? We're all about encouraging Bible teaching here. We're all about, they worship. We're all about passionate worship music, encouraging Bible teaching. We're a community that's all about generous outreach. And what did they do? They went and they commanded, they taught, everything Jesus had commanded. And surely Jesus says, I am with you always. Always. Say always. Always to the very end of the age. How do you read Mission Matthew 28 this morning? How do you reflect? How do you respond? Let me tell you a story. I heard the story of two battleships that had been at sea several days in heavy weather. Frank Koch was the captain serving on the lead battleship during night watch. You need to know that the visibility was poor and spotty fog was all around them. So the captain kept an eye on all activities very carefully. Well, shortly after dark, the ship captain lookout reported, light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern was the question. The lookout replied, it's steady, captain, which you need to know meant that they were on a collision course. The captain told the signalman, signal that ship that you've seen. We are on a major collision course. We advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the reply. Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. Well, the captain said, send that ship. I'm a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. The reply, I'm a seaman second class. You had better change your course 20 degrees. Well, by this time, the captain was furious. He shouted, send that ship. I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the message, I'm a lighthouse. Similarly, this morning, I stand here and I suggest that Seattle is full of people in the middle of crisis and conflict who need help, who need hope, who are on a course that they may not see is destined for collision. In a city of over 700,000 people, Seattle, with a surrounding 3.5 million in the metropolitan area, finding and following Jesus is essential for us to get this message on the streets of Seattle. Why? Because Jesus is hope. Today we launch a new series called Jesus is Hope. How do we reach our city? With the message of hope, with the message of Jesus. What are we supposed to do in Seattle with crisis? Scripture says this, He, God, does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants, read it with me, everyone to repent. That's you and me. This is what Peter said. Did you know God doesn't want anyone lost, and He gives everyone, you and me, and everyone, we look out these windows, and we look out on our streets, and we look at our city. He wants everyone, everyone to be saved. He gives everyone space and time to change. Do we want the same thing? God says, I've got my hand on this city to save it, and I couldn't help. But say, this wasn't just a scripture from the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. This is a scripture to Seattle. I've got my hand on this city to save it. Jesus is hope. See, I believe the Lord has stationed Calvary Christian Assembly for such a time as this as a 92-year-old lighthouse to stand and to shine the saving and the healing gospel message and good news. Jesus is hope. So let's reflect this morning. Let's reflect the words of Jesus. Let's reflect the story in the Bible of how Peter, because Peter was here when this scripture was portrayed, when this actual event happened. Peter was there with Mission Matthew 28. He was there when Jesus spoke these words. Let's look at how Peter unleashes hope in his city, the first century church, and take note for our city. So here's the deal. This morning, in your notes, you should have had a little fill-in when you came in your notes, in your bulletin. When helping people find and follow Jesus, here are three things not to do. All right, number one, write it down. Unplug from the power source. Number one, unplug from the power source. When helping people find and follow Jesus, three things not to do. Number one, unplug from the power source. You see, Peter in the first century church plugged into Jesus. And in turn, they had power to unleash hope in their city. What did they do? They plugged in. You know, Jesus still promises. This isn't just a promise of yesteryear. This is a promise for today. What does he say? He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You. He's talking to you now. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me. What happens in Scripture? You read it, says all of them. Next slide. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Read it with me. Authority and power. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. You go on and you read in some translations, it says, and began to speak in other languages. What was happening? A supernatural, extraordinary encounter, an experience, a demonstration, a confirmation that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The initial physical evidence and sign of the Holy Spirit, authority and power. Then what happens? It says, then Peter stood up after they plugged in. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Before Peter stood up, Peter looked up in prayer. Okay? Before Peter talked with people about God, Peter talked to God about people. How could Peter? You got to understand, this first century church was under the Roman Empire, under Roman rule, under dogmatism, and they were afraid. How could Peter, who we read earlier in the Bible, had denied Christ three times, he was afraid of being associated with Christianity. How could Peter, worried in Jerusalem, boldly stand up, as Scripture says, and tell everyone he met that Jesus is hope? How could he do it? How could the same Peter we read about, who denied his Savior, who he lived with and walked with and talked with, he denied him because he was afraid of what people might think. How could the same Peter stand up? I suggest because he plugged in to his power source. I have a little something-something this morning for you. Anybody like Dave's Killer Bread? Or is it just me? All right, just me. I have my favorite fruit and honey. Smucker's Triple Berry. I like it because there's only 35 calories per serving. I know. And then I have a little plate here because we're not going to have Dave's Killer Bread and Jelly and not prepare it, are we? That would just be a waste of an illustration now, would it? So what we're going to do this morning, which, by the way, this thing caught on fire the other day. I won't tell you how, but that's a different sermon. It actually is going to help my illustration here in a minute. So I was like, oh, thank you, God. So Peter, how could the same Peter who didn't, maybe he didn't know how to tell people. Maybe how could he with boldness just stand up and begin to, what did he do? He plugged in. So the other morning, not too long ago, I get up. It's early in the morning. And actually, I think it was still dark, and I want to prepare some toast. I want to prepare some bread, and I'm starting to get frustrated. And my first thought I had was, well, this stupid thing's a defect. It's not working, right? So I'm getting frustrated. I go, well, I know what it is. It's got cracks in it. It's bumps and bruises. It must be too old. It's too old. That's why it's not working. I got to get rid of the thing. Just throw it away. It's dysfunctional. And I began to, and then I realized, oh, wait, hang on. I just didn't plug it in. I got to plug it in. Hang on one sec. Let me plug this in. All right. I plugged it in. Get it on my sitting. Okay, good. Hey, now we're talking. Now we're talking. And I realized that even though I may have thought at times that it was dysfunctional, it's got some bumps and bruises, some cracks, some, you know, it doesn't look like all the other toasters that I compare it to. But it's actually not outdated. It's actually not too old. It actually works best when it's plugged in to its power source. And so then I just kind of started smelling the toast and thought, this is kind of fun, isn't it? We're making toast on a Sunday morning at Calvary. This is pretty cool. Has everyone ever made toast on a Sunday morning for you? Well, I thought, this is really cool. And I'm sitting here making toast in the morning, and all these thoughts are running through my mind, and all this symbolism. And I start thinking, how can we feed Seattle the bread of life? I would stand here and suggest this morning, we can feed Seattle the bread of life only after being plugged in and empowered with the Holy Spirit. See, you are hardwired. You and I, we're hardwired to be a conduit of power and hope. Like an empowered toaster, we work best plugged in to the power source. I want to suggest this morning, wherever you're at, you're not too old. You may have some bumps and bruises. You may have some scars to prove you've been through some stuff. This morning, you may have been perceived by your own self to be outdated and dysfunctional maybe in certain areas of your life. But I come to encourage you this morning, stay plugged in to your power source. Because if you do, you will be useful in Seattle. Now, I'm not done yet. Don't think I'm done yet here with this illustration. Hear that fresh pop? So as I'm spreading this jam, triple berry that is, made with honey, you're asking, well, that's a cute little illustration, but how, I mean, seriously, Pastor Ryan, how do I plug in? Practically speaking, what does that mean to plug in to the Holy Spirit? What does that mean to plug in to Jesus? Do you remember the illustration I gave last week of the two chairs? Let's go back to last week real quick. Can we do that? We're going to rewind to last week. And remember that illustration that I gave, and I said there's two chairs every morning in your house. And one of them's for you, and one of them's Jesus. Yeah. This last week, were you able to sit with him, even just 5 minutes? Maybe this week is when we start. Let's do it, tomorrow morning, you and me. Because the same Jesus that I talk to you about wants to talk to you personally. And so how do we plug in? I'm plugging in right now. Lord, I got a busy week. And God, I'm going to need your help. Would you help me? Lord, thank you for that scripture. Thank you for taking me to the book of Hosea, where you say everything you need is to be found in me. Thank you, Lord, for that scripture. And God, I'm plugging in, and I need evidence in my life. I need people. God, I need evidence. I need the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. The bread of life. I need confirmation, Lord. Would you fill me with your love? And I remember church the first time I plugged in. I remember the first time that I found Jesus' hope. I remember the first time I was with my mom. It was at an altar in Sacramento at Capital Christian Center. I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit. And aside from the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the greater demonstration was the love that was now displayed, the confirmation, the demonstration of the love and the joy and the peace that was now in my life and people were asking about. The evidence of patience, of kindness and goodness. Have you noticed yourself wanting to just be kind to people? You find yourself, I don't know why, but I bought Ian a propane tank. A homeless man, because he needed help. He was hungry, and he needed kindness. It's just evidence. It's just, you've been plugged in. You're plugging into Jesus. The confirmation of faithfulness, of gentleness, of self-control. What are these things that Galatians is talking about, that Peter portrays, that Paul portrays? Evidence, demonstration of the Spirit. What are they? It's being plugged in. And see, what happens when we plug in, you can't help. You can't help but enjoy the evidence. That's really good. That's really good. And this morning, I can't help because I've been plugged in. I cannot help but tell you how good the bread of life is. I cannot help but tell you this morning as I stand up here, Jesus is hope. I can't help but tell you, yeah, unemployment stinks. Have you ever been there? Yeah. When the first 4 months go by and you go, okay, God, but I can't help, because I plug in, I can't help but tell you that he's provider. I can't help but tell you that he's healer, that he's for you, that he's with you. I can't help but tell you how kind he is, how loving he is. See, when you plug in, there's a demonstration that begins to happen. There's evidence that begins to happen. You can't help but pop the truth that Jesus is hope. Stay plugged in. You know, Jesus exemplified being plugged in as well to the power source. It says this, the Lord's Spirit, the power of influence has come to me, Jesus said, to tell the good news to the poor, to announce freedom for the prisoners, to give sight to the blind, next slide, to free everyone who suffers and to say, this is the year the Lord has chosen. Paul was plugged in to Jesus. He was purposed to proclaim Jesus is hope to his city. He said this, he says, I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ Jesus. It is the power, read it with me, it is the power of God. We'll get there. It is the power of God. I'll read it for you, no worries. At work, saving everyone who believes. It is the, read it with me, power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Was an overflow. See, Paul was the same one who wrote, may the God of hope, plugged in, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay plugged in. Just look at somebody right now and encourage him. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. When helping people find and follow Jesus, three things not to do. Number two, speak your opinion, not the gospel. Speak your opinion, not the gospel truth. See, this is why Peter encourages us all. He says, always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope. Always be ready. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope. Peter was ready with the truth. He proclaimed, Jesus is hope. He says this, I can tell you confidently, he said in Acts. He, speaking to Jesus, was not abandoned to the grave. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Witnesses of the fact. Do you realize Peter writes and Peter testifies and Peter proclaims Jesus is hope, not as an opinion. You've got to realize that this was written out of the first century church. This was written as truth, as fact. See, sometimes we're so far removed from what's written, we read it as a history piece, a really cool part of history. But this is truth. And he says, I can tell you confidently, always be ready to give an answer for your hope. Remember this, church. Every one of us, every Jesus follower in this room is a witness for this generation. This generation. You bear his name. Let me tell you a story. I was in traffic not too long ago. Remember, this is a what not to do, right? How not to. Let me just preface my story with that. I'm in traffic. We're driving. Linnea and I are together. We're on a date morning. And in my phone, I keep my phone readily available because I like to just jot down stuff that inspires me. So if I have a thought or hear something on the radio or a song or Linnea and I are talking or something, I write it down. So we're at a stop sign. I correct that. We're at a stop light. And we're in traffic. And I get a thought. So I pick up my phone. I'm writing it down. My window's about halfway down. All of a sudden, I hear, "Do you think that is really necessary to be on your phone?" It was the driver next to me. When I looked up, I was surprised. I thought, I definitely have an opinion about this. So I put my phone down, and I looked over, and I just observed. I'm very observant. And I noticed it was a very cloudy day outside, almost like it was dusk. And this gentleman had sunglasses on. So immediately, I asked, "Well, do you think it's necessary to wear sunglasses on a cloudy day?" And I was so glad the light turned green because I'm like, zzz, the window's going up, and I just go, this is a what not to do sermon, okay. And then he pulls up. We're back in, you know, that's embarrassing. You laugh because it's happened to you, huh? And he pulls back up. So I rolled down the window and I invited him to church. I'm like, "Hey, by the way, we meet on Sundays at 10:30 over at..." No, I didn't invite him to church. What not to do, right? Here's the question. Are you a contagious Christian or an opinionated one? This is what we reflect on, okay? Learn from my mistakes. Are you a contagious Christian? Let's just push the pause button in the message and just online, on social media. Are you contagious on Facebook or opinionated? How about on the road, like me? What not to do, right? How about on the move when you're hurried, when you've got a calendar to keep, and you just blow right by people? Are you a contagious Christian or an opinionated one? You know, I've come to learn that always being correct isn't how to help people find and follow Jesus, but always being contagious is. I like to say it this way. Maybe the first thing we plug into is Jesus, and the first thing that starts coming out as overflow and demonstration is kindness. That's why Peter said, "Do this with gentleness and respect." Always be ready to give somebody an answer for your hope, but let's do it with gentleness and let's start with a smile. Did you know smiles minister to people more than you think they do? Just by looking somebody in the eye, not over them, under them, or around them, but in their eye and giving them a great big smile and a great big God bless you. When helping people find and follow Jesus, three things not to do. Number three, disregard the presence of God. Disregard the presence of God. You know, you were never intended to do life alone. I just want you to know that. There's some people here this morning who may feel isolated and alone. And you come into a community like this and you don't even know where to start. Where do I even begin? You were never intended to do life alone. Let me explain it this way. Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." He emphasizes with God. It's the articulation of what Jesus does through his ministry while on earth. It's always about with. It's always about with. The first century church is always about with. Jesus, his ministry was always about with. It's with. So he highlights this truth. He says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. Stay plugged in. He's waiting for you. He's not going to stop waiting for you. He just wants to talk with you. "Man, but God, I'm going through a divorce right now, and but with God. Man, I got financial issues. I've been through a bad break at work, and I no longer have a job. Yeah, I get it. But with God," right? "Man, there's this thing I've been praying about, and actually the opposite of what I've been praying about has happened. I know. Can't explain some of those things. But Jesus said, with God, stay with God and he'll bless you. Did you hear what I just said? Are your ears awake this morning? Can you hear the word of the Lord? Stay with God. I stand here today as evidence, as a demonstration. Do I need to take another bite to convince you that when you're plugged in with God, David told the blessing of staying with God. He said, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. The scripture's going to be up there in a minute. Who walk in the light of your presence. David knew the favor of standing with God. He said this, next slide. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Peter found renewed hope in Jesus when he quotes David by saying, you will fill me with joy in your, read it, presence. Today, Jesus is hope. And his presence assures us that he's hope. When we sang that song and we went into that to that bridge, what were the words? What were the words of that bridge? It started. Give it to me, you know. No. It was before that one. There was a song that we were singing. I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. Did you feel that in that moment? Did you feel it, maybe just a surge or sense something a little bit different? What is that, church? It's God. It's the presence of God. It's encouragement. It's evidence. It's demonstration. It's his spirit. This is what I'm talking about plugging in. You can plug in with a song in your car. You can plug in. Now I'm getting real. You can plug in at the gym while doing curls. Linnea's looked over at me before, and I'm just... because he just touches me. It's a surge. It's a sense. It's a moving of the Spirit. Plugging into God. With God. I'm talking about spending time. I'm talking about how do we plug in with prayer, with worship, with reading his word, with a Bible app on your phone. Joy in your presence. He's always with you. God told Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he tells you the same thing. Jesus promises in conclusion. He says, I am with you always. I am with you how long? Oh, somebody needs to hear this morning. Are your ears awake? I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That sounds pretty good to me. So I want to encourage you this morning to ask. Ask yourself, how do I respond to a message like this today? How do I respond? After reflecting, after reading, after contemplating some of these ideas and suggestions and truths found in the Word, how do I respond? Well, maybe this morning, like the battleship captain, you ask yourself, do I need to make a course correction in any area of my life? Or am I secure I'm headed in the right direction with Jesus leading? Or maybe like Peter, who overcame his fear of being associated with Christianity and who ended up helping thousands find and follow Jesus by simply sharing the hope of who Christ is. Maybe like Peter, do I need to invite Jesus' courageous spirit into my heart? Do I need to be filled again? Or maybe like the toaster. When I say like the toaster, I'm no longer talking like the toaster, I'm saying like the toaster. Maybe this morning, like the broken, the seemingly hopeless, the scarred, the cracked, they may be feeling too young or too old, but maybe like the toaster this morning, I thought to be broken but realized to be fully functional. Could it be the one thing I need to do is plug in to Jesus? How do we feed 700 plus thousand people the bread of life? So I was praying one afternoon and the Lord gave me just a thought. You ever get just you're praying and your eyes are shut and you might get a picture or a word picture or something, a really cool thought. I had this thought as I'm praying. And as I'm praying, it was like this vision of of I was on the platform kind of similar to this, and I'm just declaring Jesus is hope, and whatever you need, he's your joy, and he can heal you, and he's done it in me, and yeah, there's stuff, but I'm just proclaiming, and nobody is in the building. And I feel so unsuccessful. I feel so unproductive until I look way back and I see one person. And in this vision, I jump off, I come down the stairs and I walk over and I leave everything, my agenda, I leave it all and I come back. But then I realize, it's a demonstration of what I've been plugged into. I come down and I come to that one person and I say, you're hungry, aren't you, man? I've been hungry just like you. And I give why, and then we connect and I give one person the bread of life. And then I turn around and there's four. Whoa, this is kind of fun. So they go to somebody. Here's a piece of bread, brother. Take a piece. Go ahead now. Don't be shy. You can share that. And they take it. And they share it, and now there's eight. Oh, this is getting crazy. And then we go, each of us go to somebody else, and we connect, and there's 16. And before you know it, how do we feed 700,000 out there? One at a time. One at a time. Look at your notes with me. One person, what does it say? One person this week, not two, not five, not 10, not 100. One person. Church, would you join me? One person I can pray with and invite to church with me this coming week. I've got his name down. His name is Ian. That's mine. Who's yours? Just take a minute. Reflect right now. 15 seconds right now. Whoever the Lord puts on your heart, write it down. One person. Come on, each and every one of us know one person. This isn't the time to go, well, my neighbor will take care of it. No, one. Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it a neighbor? Is it somebody maybe who used to go here and who's fallen away from the Lord? Is it whoever the Lord, come on, whoever the Lord puts on your mind right now, one person. Maybe this was your first time to church in a really long time. Awesome. Who's one person you could bring with you next week? Have you found hope in this moment? Maybe they need hope too. One person. With every head bowed and eye closed in this place. I've learned that every man, woman, boy, and girl, no matter the age, who doesn't have joy or peace in their heart will spend an entire lifetime searching for it. Come on, I know what I'm talking about this morning. I've done it. I've searched in overeating. I've searched in undereating. I've searched in substance abuse. I've searched in sex, trying to find joy and peace. I've searched in education. Come on. I've searched in acceptance. Well, if I just say the right thing, they'll accept me. And I'm searching for joy and peace. And you know what I come to realize? Jesus is the one who gave me real joy and real peace. Jesus is hope. And so this morning, if you found hope here, I'm extending an invitation. This isn't an invitation from me this morning. Please hear. This is an invitation from God. Under the sound of my voice, as you've reflected as a response this morning, if you found hope here and you want to follow Jesus with me, would you just raise your hand? Every head bowed, eye closed. Anybody? I see one. I see two, three, four. Anyone else? The reason I ask you to raise your hand is just so I know who I'm praying for. Five, six, seven, eight. Anyone else? I don't want to leave anyone out. Nine. You found hope and you want to follow Jesus. 10, praise the Lord. Anyone else? There's a couple upstairs. Anyone there? Father, I pray right now to you, the bread of life. Would you feed my brothers and my sisters in their deepest point of need? Beyond how I articulate, beyond how I even pray. Holy Spirit, they're plugging into you. Feed them. Feed them. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise. in your holy word. Amen.